I want to see if I can get y'all to help me out on something. Okay. I want to practice being more loving, and I figure it's easier to practice on people I like. Okay. And what I want to do for an hour as much as I can is let as much love as possible come through me to you from God, from Holy Spirit. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I got some blocks inside of me that sometimes keeps the love from coming through. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I got a lot of help that's with me, that's helping me to go beyond it. And so I just want you to know that I'm really grateful for you. This is the thought I'd like to take into this hour. I'm sustained by the love of God. Here's the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time in this world. You believe you are sustained by everything but God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, and an endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. All these things are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure body identification, pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people. These things are cherished to ensure a body identification. These things are songs of praise to your fear. Don't put your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, and knowing the right people, because it won't sustain you. Only God's love for you will protect you in all circumstances. God's love for you will lift you out of every trial and raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. God's love for you will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon the eternal calm of you, the Son of God. Put not your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, because it will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you. It's eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing. Putting your faith in God's love for you is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through God's love within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today is a declaration of release from the belief in fear. It's your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. I am sustained by the love of God. So let this idea that you are sustained by the love of God sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it. I'm sustained by the love of God. Think about it. I'm sustained by the love of God. Let related thoughts come to help you recognize that it's true. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and surety. Let no idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb the holy mind of the Son of God. That's you. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the resting place where your Father's placed you forever. And have a nice day. Okay. That's the truth. Okay. Now we're going to be on chapter 5. And I've been trying to finish this chapter for the last 3 months. And so far, it's so good I haven't been able to get through it as fast as I've been wanting to go through it. I want you to turn to paragraph 12 on page 88. I got a couple of spare books up here in case someone wants to follow. Page 88 in the text. Page 88 in the Course in Miracles text. Paragraph 12. Now you must learn that only infinite patience produces immediate effects. Only infinite patience produces immediate effects. Only having infinite patience produces immediate results. Having infinite patience produces immediate results. Having infinite patience produces immediate results. Okay, how many of you want immediate results? Raise your hand. How many of you have infinite patience? Raise your hand. So now you know about your results. If infinite patience produces immediate results, no patience at all produces no results. Is there anybody that don't understand? Like, I just want to see who you could be. Okay.
I know. You know, it's like I want to be all screwed up and have everything go right.
I'll admit it. I want to be as messed up as I am and still have everything go great. I want to be able to cuss people out, judge them, criticize them, condemn them, don't like their clothes, and have them love me. I'm going to have my cake and eat it. I want the cake. I want the bakery. I want the bakery. I want the bakery.
Why have the cake if you can't eat it?
That's what I'm saying. Why have the cake if you can't eat it? See, our problem is we have the cake but don't see it. You know what I'm saying? You could hide a cake from Stevie Wonder. He wouldn't see it. But the cake is right there. That's us. That's us. Okay, now. So, he says, this is the only way in which time is exchanged for eternity. Infinite patience calls upon infinite love, and by producing results now, infinite patience, by giving you results now, it renders time unnecessary. So the only way that time can be unnecessary, we're saying we don't want to have to wait a long time, right? The way you make time unnecessary is to allow yourself to have it right now, because if you have it right now, you don't need no time. So the only way you can have what you want and not take time is to ask for it now. But if you won't ask for it now until you believe you deserve it, then it might be a long time before you have what you want. I'm telling you, you deserve it even if you don't think you deserve it.
Thank you.
That it's going to come to you even if you don't think you deserve for it to come to you. Love's going to come to you. Because of who created you, not because of who you think you are. That's so cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just got back from Memphis, you know, and it ran the whole gamut of emotions. I mean, because no one can bring up everything you need to know about yourself better than your children.
That's true.
And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for what I got a chance to see about myself. You know. And sometimes you have to have those experiences that teach you, give you an opportunity to see how much you really, really believe and how much you just talking stuff. You know what I'm saying? And you have yourself in situations where you have to practice everything that you've been reading, if you want to have peace, if you know. And I experience like incredible amounts of love, and then I experience incredible amounts of fear. And you know, me and my son had this like incredible conversation, and he was like, you know. My son, just to give you some idea, my son is like my complete opposite in terms of the way he perceives things. And so it's like looking at myself inside out. Because he looks like me too. So we had a hard time creating the kind of closeness that I always wanted. Because we seemed like we were so different in our thoughts. And I've always told him that I supported them in being whoever they want to be. They wasn't here to act out my script. Doggone it, they act like it. So we had gone through a situation where I almost lost this physical body being here in the world. That's why I went to Memphis. And he had made it through it with me and us and love. And he said, what happened to me when I was that close to, you know, death? What I think of as it, because he said, you know, I feel like, he said, you know, I felt like from the time this thing came up for me that it was just me building my testimony to the grace of God and how much I believe that God is going to use this to benefit me and everybody else. That's what my son told me. And so it made me really not want to waste any more time in terms of connecting with you. Healing our relationship and being really able to love each other the way we need to. I said, okay. I was sitting there. And so, I know you haven't been around me, and so you don't know how I tend to handle and react to things, so I'm going to tell you how I am. And he went and told me, you know, he likes things straight up. He's like a blunt person. He don't like to be carnal. You know, he's the one that something's on his mind. If he can see it, he can get bad. And he knows I love him, and that was not at all a question, that he knew that I loved him completely and I loved him totally. And he wanted me to know he loved me the same way, and he wanted to make sure that we were really clear that that was the purpose of our communication. Now, anybody who's been coming to my class any length of time knows that's exactly what I teach.
Totally.
That he was saying back to me, through my son's voice, who's like as far to the right as I am to the left, you know. And so what he was basically saying is, you know, I need to communicate some things. And if I can communicate these things, I want you to know that no matter what I say, nothing I'm saying is to hurt your feelings in any way. And so that's why I want to make it clear in the very beginning. But it's some things I need to say if I'm going to have this connection. So it was funny. It was so funny because I was sitting on the bed and I was reading the Course in Miracles. We was doing the Course in Miracles. As a matter of fact, Sajid and I were doing the Course in Miracles, not the Course in Miracles and Course in Love, like on our computers, video conferencing, because we do that and study the Course together. And various other fun things sometimes. So he walked in and he said, it was funny, he called it my altar. He said, I can see you were sitting on your altar. And all surrounding me was truth books. And the truth was in front of me. That just shows you how my God prepares me for healing. It's like, I'm going to literally make all of your truth be all around you before you receive this communication, because behind this communication is all the love that you ever want to experience with your son. But in order for you to get to it, he's got to be able to say whatever it is he thinks and feels without you interrupting or defending or closing down or stop. He got stuff because you and his mom split when he was 8 years old. You haven't lived with him since he was 8 years old. And all he has is one side of the story, and that's the mom's side. And whatever he thought about you, whatever he saw in you, whatever, he needs to communicate everything, you know. So Holy Spirit kept telling me, that it was so important for me to never lose sight of the purpose of the communication, because if I never lost sight of the purpose of the communication, no matter what emotions would come up, we could go back to center. As long as I didn't forget why this person was saying this stuff to me, whatever it was. Okay, so then on that note, I said, and then I use astrology as a way to communicate with God and the universe, so I knew he was a double Scorpio with the moon in Aries, which anybody knows Scorpios be going, God damn. Okay, if you knew astrology, that's what you know. Okay, double Scorpio, moon in Aries, which is like, you know, it's going to come at you as straight as it can come, as intense as it can come, as real as it can come, as fixed as it can come. But it's coming. And then the Aries says, and it's coming aggressively. So I knew it. So I was like sitting there. So I knew it was no accident. And I realized I had been asking for this for a long time. I had been asking for a healing in our relationship. For real. But my son's 32. And I still can't believe these numbers I'm batting around me either, by the way. Anyway. This is funny. So then he started with the latest thing all the way back to the earliest thing. And have you ever had somebody say something to you and it was so wrong, it was unbelievable? I mean, it was just so wrong. All the stuff he would say, it's like his perception of what happened and me not being there, everything, it was like completely, which explained his separation. His fear. It's like the Course says, right? You know, right behind the misperception is separation. So it's like, so a part of me really wanted to defend, you know, want to jump in and defend. But I knew that it was more important for him to communicate safely without losing my love than defending anything he would say. What he needed to know and what he needed to see was that he was going to have my love no matter what. That's what you need to see, which is what all of us want to see. All of us want to believe if we act the biggest nut fool, we do the craziest stuff, the most guilty stuff, the baddest stuff, the most, that whoever this is in our life, that somehow they'll see it in their heart to look past that, to remember who we really are and give us some love. All of us, that's what I want.
Yeah.
You know. So there he was, giving me an opportunity. And I felt I felt all of my emotions and feelings come up, you know, and I was feeling like everything. I was feeling hate, and I was feeling anger, and I was feeling indignant, and I was feeling compassion, and I was feeling depressed, and I was feeling shoot me. My son is, you know, just survived a life or death situation, and I was thinking about that. You know, this is what happened on the other side. Okay. And then I would stop sometimes, and he would be saying stuff, and I would just really want to just jump in there and say, this is like, you know, you don't see the part you play. Because most people don't ever see the part they play when they're telling you all the stuff you're doing wrong. They don't even have this. Like, to them, they're like, they're this perfect little nice little thing, and everybody will be just treating so sweet and loving. But they're sitting there judging you with proof they're just as screwed up as they think you are. So anyway. But I cannot get upset with people for doing what I know I've done now like I used to. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not anything I can see anybody do in their human nature that I can't identify with is something I've done at some time or another, if I just be honest with myself, you know. And so I realized, you know, whatever. So anyway, it was coming at me. I was going through a variety of feelings of emotion, and it was like, hey, you know, it's like, I'm here. I've been here for 2 weeks out of my love for you. I came here because of my love for you. You know, I'm not even. I do my thing on my own. I don't know what my income is going to be from week to week. But I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. I don't know who's going to be there when I get back. In the past, a lot of times when I've gone places and I was teaching, and I would come back, I would have practically no one there. That's happened a lot over the last 20 years. So I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, and so it was like testing my faith, but that was symbolic of my desire to be there. But I wasn't really hearing that. I was hearing everything I wasn't doing, hadn't done, out of the desire to heal. Because he was, and so my ego would get like, and I would breathe, and I go, like that. And he'd say, well, don't shut down. I said, don't shut down on it. And it's like, and that's why I listened, because that wasn't what was happening. I was just trying to stay centered. And I found just when I wanted to say something the most about this, substitute a deep breath, I remember God's voice and started learning the truth. So then he got through, and then it was my time. I so look forward to that. I was so glad I get a chance to do the same thing. That I get a chance to share with him every single thing I thought about our relationship and what I've experienced in my relationship with him ever since he was 8 years old. Right? Because like I told him, this is just us expressing our feelings. I said, there's nothing to do with whether or not this is right or wrong. This is about us expressing our feelings, which is an important point, you know. So anyway, he said things that horrified me as well as things that made me feel good. So then I commenced to share with him what I was thinking, what I was feeling, and what I felt was injustice or misperception. And he would interrupt me. As soon as I would get to going good, he would interrupt me, and I noticed that it would make me I would make myself angrier when he would interrupt me, even though he thought he had a good purpose for doing it, like trying to show me where he was right. But the point that I'm making was, at some point I realized that if I really wanted to have peace, then this was like lightning fast. My mind would, if you're going to want to have peace, then you got to let go of him not interrupting you be a issue. It's like, it's on me again. I get tired of always being the one that have to have a sin. You know? That's why I always tell people, don't, you know, if you can help it, don't get into a special relationship with someone on a lower level of awareness than you, or you're going to always be the one that's having to practice the truth, because they're not going to even know it. So you're going to be the one having to forgive all the time and answer the call for love all the time, because they're not going to know nothing about that. So it might give your ego a temporary high to feel like you know more and you're in control, but you'll be the one ending up having to do the most too. That's the other side of that. So you want to look for equality. So anyway, I told them that it was, you know, when he finished, I said, well, you know, these are just perceptions. I said that again. And part of me was mad, and part of me, we went, and then he said, the reason why I'm telling you this is, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I love you no matter what. I want you to know that you don't ever have to feel afraid or uncomfortable around me ever, because I love you. I'm not judging you. I love you. Even though he was saying a lot of stuff sound like judgment. But what I was so proud of in myself was that I had started to love myself so much that I could hear the purpose, and I could hear him saying, I'm saying this because I love you, where in the old days, all I would have been caught up in was the stuff that he said that I didn't like. And that would, I would have let that determine the entire experience of him, and maybe separated from him or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I really saw the call for love. And so it helped calm me down. And I told him, I said, when I get quiet, I said, all I'm doing is taking a breath so that I'll remain centered and never forget that everything that you're saying to me because you love me and that you wanted to be a healing behind getting these feelings out just like me. And he was trying to tell me how I was wrong about some of the things I saw in him and around him. And I told him, I freaked him out in a way because I said, well, I'm not interested in doing political debates. You know how you get back and forth as to who's seeing the wrong perception, the rightest? I remember what the purpose of the conversation was, and I told him, right in the middle of it, don't you know I don't want to be right? I don't want to be right if anything I'm seeing or feeling about you is making me feel anything but peace and love for you. I don't want to be right about anything that's not making me feel good. I don't want to be right. I do not want to be. I say, I don't want to be right as Southern. I do not want to be right. I do not want to be right. I don't have an investment in being right. I don't want to be right about any perception that I would have of you that would keep me from loving you the way I want to love you. And it's like it stopped him, like, pow! Because people are so used to, in the old thought system, they're so used to somebody having to need to be right. And so just, and I told them, I don't want to be right. If you broke, you don't want to be right. If you mad, you don't want to be right. If you feel like you're lonely and nobody can love you, you don't want to be right. If you feel, you know, you don't want to be right about the crap of stuff. If you got any sense, you don't want to be right. So that's what I told them. And my not wanting to be right created an opening that allowed him to let go of his defensiveness. And then we both realized at the same time that we just wanted to love each other right then. And then we like grabbed each other and sobbed in each other's arms. That was one of the deepest moments in my life, bar none. And I saw the Holy Spirit through the course take me through it. And when it was all over, he still had misperceptions about me, and I still had some misperceptions about him, and he still had some scripts for me, and I still had some scripts for him, and he don't see me yet the way, as the cute, luscious, spiritual man that I am completely yet. But we contacted that underlying love that was there beneath all that bull, and we feel it. And so when I got back, I had to vent all my feelings and everything that had come up for me, because I'm a firm believer the course says you look at that feeling, you express that feeling, and you look at it, and then you tell yourself the truth about it. So it's not about repression. And so I let it all up. And so the decision I had made to love him, which was a decision I made before going to town, gave me infinite patience, because I had decided I was going to love him no matter what. That's what infinite patience is. Right? And so as soon as I went there with that attitude, I got immediate results right then. And immediately the person that I wanted to have the healing with walked in on their own without me saying anything. It was a miracle that he was able to walk in. You don't even have to deal with the story that is in itself. And asked for the very healing that I really wanted to have myself. So I said all that to let you see that time can be rendered unnecessary. That I still have some misperceptions and still have some grievances, and he has some grievances and some misperceptions, but we know we're clear about what our purpose is, and we love each other more. So I was asking the Holy Spirit, how should I treat him? How should I treat my daughter? How should I react? Because I mean, it's like I hear a lot of stuff that's not necessarily true. And he says, you know what you're supposed to do with them? You know, spirit in my heart. You know, that's what God talks to you, is in your heart, not in your head. And God said to me, you treat your son exactly the way you would treat him if you didn't have any grievances or misperceptions of him. You treat him just the way you would treat him if you and him had the smoothest, easiest, most correct perception relationship you can imagine. That's you give him what you want. That's what you do in every situation. That's how you always answer that question, what should I do? What do you want? That's what you should do. And don't make it dependent on whether or not he's giving it back the way you think you want it. And I was like, I wish I hadn't asked. You know, but always ask me to be what I want to have. Every time I ask God's guidance, God always tells me to be what I want to have. That I can't wait for everybody else to do it first. But when I was willing to do that, and I had really accepted I need to change Earl, he walks in the room and initiates it. Did you see what I'm saying? It was like, when I took the responsibility off of him and put it on myself, then he walked into the room saying everything I'd ever wanted him to hear. It did not happen until I took responsibility for my experience and had decided that I was going to love him regardless. Everything came out of my decision, and I always act like it came out of everybody else's decision. So I was busy trying to get everybody else to want to do it. And it just gave me such a profound gratitude for you and for being here and for the life I have here. It's like, you know, you learn through, and then, don't get me wrong, we experienced some intense levels of love and connection after that. When I hugged, you know, he grabbed me and he cuddled in my arms like he was when he was a little boy. You know, and it was a trip. I went and visited my granddaughter and grandson. I got a 3-year-old granddaughter and a about 17-month-old grandson. And it's always deep for me because I don't see myself in terms of roles and labels. So, but when I go home, I become brother, father, uncle, cousin, and it's almost like those movies where you like descend into the suit or something, and all of a sudden you got this suit on, and it's this suit of labels. And then when I go to Memphis around family and friends, I got this suit of labels, you know. And one of my very best friends that took me on his wing when I was a young inner city guy, you know, and protected. It's like one of my best friends, I found out that if he had an opportunity, he was going through cancer, and it looked like he might not be around. But it's like, and so he and I was like, man, we hadn't seen each other in years, but our love was instantaneously there as soon as we saw each other. It was like no time had passed. So it was that kind of relationship. If I got a real relationship with you, you ain't getting mad at me if you don't hear from me in a few days. You know what I mean? It's one of them kind of relationships. You don't care how long it's been. Y'all walk right up just like y'all never, like no time has passed, and total trust. You know, those are the kind of friendships I like, you know. But I had to hear that and remind myself of who he was. It's like everything that I've studied in here, I had to practice it in the last 2 weeks. Every single solitary thing that this friggin' book has taught me, I've had to practice. And I heard people telling me, and then it's like, and if I started to feel guilty, and I was like getting with my sister, you know, and she was like, you're innocent, you're great, you're powerful, you're beautiful, you came here, that was a wonderful thing to do. So, and that's where all my family was. It's like, everybody was coming, it's like, I'm trying to make myself feel good. You love, you're an incredible person. I'm like, watch, this is family. Like, they've been in my course class. But who has? Me. That was the common denominator in all those situations that I was watching happening around me. And so when I came back here, I'm back here with a conviction and an appreciation beyond you can possibly imagine from the last. I'm not even the same person y'all saw the last time.
You're cuter.
Thank you for your correct perception. You know, you can tell when people are looking at you correctly. You know, they're usually happy. And that's what I was saying. It was such a powerful experience of, if I was willing to have infinite patience, it would produce immediate effects. And that's what he's saying. Thank you for letting me share that with you, too.
Thank you for sharing.
You know, if you don't mind, I kind of went off for a while, but I felt like it was relevant to what we were talking about.
Well, and it fits, like, me with my daughter, you know. So it's when I'm you. I'm just a 5-year-old, though.
It's okay. When I first started studying the course, I was a Southern white man. The course does produce change.
You know
what I'm saying? And I want you to be clear. All we did was gave ourselves the purpose.
Yeah.
You know, now we got to let the purpose create the outcome. And all that, and we know that, the, our job with each other is to keep remembering why we're doing this. So me and my son are clear. And so we've agreed to disagree. You know. And then, so still stuff comes up. You know, and I come up and I go, you know what I'm saying? Still, I need to call it back right now and straighten that out, you know. As it comes back, you know, it's like, and then I have to remember that the truth is the same every day. The truth never changes. So the truth of how I should handle that stuff then is the same truth about how I should handle that stuff now. And I got to remember to take the same attitude now that I took on the bed. That's what I need to remember instead of trying to figure out how to change it. And that's why my classes are nothing but official reminders. That people come to my class because they just want to remember. And that's what my class is for. They're for remembering, not analyzing. They're for remembering, not debating over whose ideas about God is correct. You know, you walk in this door because you want to remember you're innocent and that you're loved and you deserve to be loved. That's why you walk in. And the other reason, I'm disappointed. Because I'm not interested in convincing people anymore about what's true or not. I never was. So I'm still recuperating. I really am. I go through a lot of them. We had a profound, it was like the paradigm of my whole being was, just like when I was playing with my daughter for the first time, really, my granddaughter, and I had took this bunny rabbit and turned it into some puppet named Ruby. And all of a sudden, Ruby was like having this whole experience with, like, it's not, you know, your children don't really know you that well at first, so they don't let you see who they are, even though they might be really loud and playful, they'll act bashful. Mm-hmm. And their parents say, well, you know, you just did that yesterday, you won't do it for your grand. But you know. So it was funny how the minute I got the puppet, it freed both of us up. Because then I could let everything come through the puppet. It was so weird. It's like I could connect. So the puppet started going off. You know what I'm saying? The puppet was like talking, you know, Kimbria, you're so beautiful, you're so cute, you're so handsome, no matter what you do, you know that thing. She had a voice. Yes, Kimbria, you know how cute you are, don't you, Kimbria? You're just the cutest little girl in the world. You know, you can remember the truth about that. Are you a good little girl, Kimbria? Do you like to remember the truth about what is this? And then she would go, yes, that's right, I do. I'm trying to be good. She go through a whole little thing, you know. And then I had a Kimbria, then I made up a Kimbria song. And so she had to sing the Kimbria song with me. So I went, Kimbria, Kimbria, nothing in the world better than you. You know, whatever I would make up, you know. And then she had to go, Kimbria, Kimbria. And then she sang all this good stuff I said about her to herself. And then we didn't have to fucking do a Kimbria dance. And then she jumped up and she started doing the Kimbria dance. And I videotaped it. And if I put it on a CD, I'll show it to you. It's a trip. But that changed the foundation of my being. You know, just hanging out with my grandson and my, you know, it's like, because I see them on so many levels. I see them as, according to the rules of the world and the game that we're playing right now, I appear to be the grandfather and these my grandchildren, and there are rules that go with that, and then I'll accept those rules and I'll act within those rules for the safety and love of all concerned. Then there's another part of me that knows this is just, that this is another part of myself, and this is just another child of God, just like me at the same time. It's got her own and their own lessons and their own spiritual growth and things that they're going to go through with God, and it has nothing to do with me at all. It's their own. They got their own spiritual path, and they're not these little kids that's running around here. So it's interesting to see, to, you know, it's one thing to look at a situation, it's another thing to see. When you're looking, that's my grandchildren. When you see, those are the infinite, powerful, holy children of God. Spirits. You see what I'm saying? So you have to learn how to have X-ray vision. I always wanted X-ray vision, but I thought it was to look through women's clothes, you know. But
it's not.
But it's not. No. That was back in the day. Nowadays you don't even have to go that far. You know, so it's pretty much out there. You don't need X-ray vision. You just need to open your eyes and get HBO. But it's already here. We just have to know where to go for it innocently, you know. But anyway, that's what you have to do. You have to learn how to, you know, to look at it according to the game that we're playing or the human experience, and then at the same time switch back to seeing people and what the truth of the situation is. It was so cool. Because the minute I could do that, then I could have more fun with her. And then being the grandfather wasn't heavy. You know what I'm saying? And because I mean, whenever I hear the word grandfather, it freaks me out. You know, it's like I hear the word grandfather Earl. Sometimes she said grandfather Earl. Then she went through this whole thing about she loved grandfather Earl, and she was singing a grandfather Earl song. And then you're tripping out of you. You know, that's what appears to be your lineage. And you're like, my God, you know, what I'm saying, what that little thing there, you know. And then you have to remember, it didn't come from me. They didn't come from me. They came from God. Because if not, I flip into that old paradigm again and be scared, worried about them all the time. Because I think I get back to being God, and I realize that the same God that created them is the same God that created me, and the same God that's guiding me is the same God that's guiding them, and the same God sustaining me is the same God that's sustaining them. So I realize that my fear is a sure sign that I'm depending on my own strength and not the strength of God. That's how I can tell when I'm losing my faith, is in direct proportion to my fear, because my fear is me relying on myself separate from God. So I noticed when my son was talking and I would get angry, I was like on the way over here to church, and then it's like the end of the, you know, he waited for like the final period to come up to the lesson. That happened on the way over here this morning. It was like, on the way over here, it's like, okay, now here's the last thing I want you to realize about your encounter with your son and the lesson that you went through and all this stuff. And he said, Spirit said in my heart, said, you believe everything he said was true that upset you. Take anything that he said that upset you in any way, and you should just admit to yourself right now that you believe everything he says is true. Because if you didn't believe it was true, you wouldn't be upset. And I had heard that a million times one way or another. But y'all know how the difference between you when you hear something and when you hear something. Yeah. You know, it's like all of a sudden it was like, bam! It was like, my God, if I was just to agree with the stuff that people were saying to me that I didn't like, that'd be the end of the argument. Because they're telling me the truth. Earl, you are selfish. Did that upset me? If it did, you believe you are selfish. And so therefore you need to not stop arguing with them because you believe it's true. And it was like, that freed me up at a level I can't explain to y'all. It was like, I'm the one who believes that it's true. That's why I'm hurting about some of the things that were said. That's the way I feel too. I feel like I did blah, da 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 da. That was one of the most healing things. So when I came here, I was like, kind of like in a coma. I'm still in an altered state. If you're getting upset about something, you believe it.
For sure.
Yep. If I tell you that you are no good and you get upset about it, you are no good. That's what Spirit says. It's like, what? Yeah. Because if you knew your value, that would just go poop. like Superman.
Ting, ting,
like a bullet ricocheting off of Superman. That's what be, like, that's where it would be. If you really knew your innocence, if you really knew your purpose, if you really were sure that everything you did in regards to your son was coming 100% from your heart and the best you could do, that wouldn't have been one single thing he could have said that would have upset you in any way. That's the way you are. The way he said is that's the way you are. That's the way your ego is. And I'm not saying that to you so that you can feel guilty. I'm saying that to you so that you can let go of it. You know, I'm saying this to you so you stop fighting it. Yeah, you were selfish. You weren't always there. You didn't really put him first. You didn't. That's why you feel... Why you think you've been trying so hard to be so friggin' spiritual? Why you think you've been trying so hard to be so good? It's because you think you're so damn bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm so bad no more. Like I used to, you know? So now, more and more, it's like I'm coming back to sanity faster. Where all of that could have been a grievance that I held on to for a long time. It was like, no, I'm letting it go because I got too many witnesses.
Right.
I got too many witnesses that says, I am loved. I am lovable. I am helpful. And he did too. But at first, my own guilt wouldn't let him hear.
What I'm saying is I love you. I want you to see this because I want you to know it's not true.
All of a sudden I heard it. And then I was smart enough at the time that I flicked on my recorder. And I recorded the whole conversation.
Cool.
All the way up to the cry. You haven't listened to it yet. But I got the feeling I'm going to hear stuff that I did not hear. At all in my anger and in my fear. I bet you it'll be like another conversation that I didn't eat. And I'm blessed enough to be able to, after hearing that conversation, my son is still alive and I can pick up the phone and I can talk to him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you. It's a hell of a paragraph, isn't it?
Good! Oh my God.
Jesus Christ!
That was bad.
could you say that one more time?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
My soul is saying me to ask me to ask this question. Is there anything that anybody would like to say to me about what I see?
Thank you.
I know exactly what you mean. As far as if my son's the same way, the same exact thing with his drugs and alcohol also. And I think I do okay on a person I'm not knowing that well, but when it comes to our kids, it's something that personal thing, you know? It's like I can be Superman until my son comes along with some kryptonite, you know.
And my guilt is the kryptonite. Kryptonite is the one thing that kills Superman, for those of y'all not here. Yeah, kryptonite is Superman's weakness. So all of us got our kryptonite. The Course in Miracles calls our ego our kryptonite. Our not loving ourselves, our kryptonite. I believe it. You know what I'm saying? And then my son has a whole Superman thing just like I do. It's so weird to go into his house and see that he draws like I drew and he, so many of the things. In other words, I saw, he kept saying, but I'm more like you than I'm different from you. Then he showed me. But I couldn't have seen that until I started to love myself more. Anybody else have any thoughts about anything that they'd like to share? Go ahead then, Rupert.
I just wanted to say that I appreciate it. You freed me to know that my struggles, even though I do have a course basis, that I'm not alone. That you continue to struggle just like me. And it is a struggle every day. And I do have people in my life who are not as aware. And it is very difficult. So I really just want to say thank you. It's not for just being human, but I guess my perception of a lot of times of people who are advanced in the course and things like that is that they don't go through sometimes the same things we do. But I know I'm in the right place because you show me that you do. So I appreciate your honesty. I really do. Thanks.
Thanks. This was better than therapy.
Yeah.
Well, y'all wait till y'all see my bill. Ruben, thank you. Ruben, what did you want to share, brother?
I have a 24-year-old son, and conversely, I never wanted him to follow my script. I wanted him to follow another script because I didn't have a lot of trust and belief in myself. So I wanted him to go in a different direction. You know, do not do this, do not do that, because I think this one was wrong and it was wrong. And he just continued to follow my script. But not mine, but his own. We're both kind of doing the same thing, you know. And ultimately, I let him go on and do his own thing because I couldn't stop him anyway. So I was just like, all right, go ahead and do your own thing. And we'd always be at odds, fighting with each other. I'm trying to make him regroup and do something else that he or be somebody else that he's not. And we've gotten into physical fights. And finally, when I let go, he'd always run around, even before I let go, he would tell everyone but me how much he loved me and how he thought I was the greatest person in the world. Never ever did he express that to me, but to someone else. Do you know how much he loves you? Still loves you? He told me how much he worships you and this man. Like, so I don't want him to worship me because my script is terrible. You know, and just recently now, we've come into a relationship that's so bonding, we understand each other. And I realized my script isn't so terrible, neither is his. You know, it just took him what I was saying was a long time to get there. But everybody has their own time. And you're talking about what your son, what you're going through with your son, is not the same thing, but it's an awareness thing of realizing that that son is not yours, that he belongs to the universe, that you're simply his guardian. And if you are his guardian and truly let him be and evolve, then you have a wonderful relationship. You know, and it took us a long time to get there. It's 24 years. You know, it's a long time before we got there. You know, we still have problems. We still do.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I think it's so important for us to get that it wasn't about like happily ever after in that sense. It was about the setting of the goal, you know, the purpose. And there's one more thing I want to say. When I was going through that fear and I was going through believing a lot of it and being feeling the pain of that, you know, I want to acknowledge Sajid for continually communicating. She would like hunt me down if she had to on my computer. Be like, you know, and she would just keep reminding me of my innocence and my value and how much I was loved. And I just want to tell you how much I love you and appreciate you for doing that. I've had some beautiful people come through my life that I really feel in my heart aren't in my life right now because I wouldn't acknowledge my appreciation for them, even though I felt it. I wouldn't say it. But I would always let people know what I was upset with them about. But I wouldn't have that same kind of, you know, so that's why I had to stop right there and say, let me, and then I wanted to do it in front of witnesses because that makes it even realer.
One thing that you said that helped, how I get so caught up and worried about, especially with my youngest daughter, that when you said something, I can't tell you what it was, it doesn't matter, but it registered, to when I'm not trusting, you know, that she's a child of God and she's going to have her experiences and everything, you know, if I can, the minute I start worrying about her, then I jumped out of that display in that place. So whatever you said.
Thank you.
Because that was a great lesson that we got today.
which is just what you said regarding that when we're listening to the world and things are happening, the illusion, and we react to that, we stop believing of who we truly are. And that's the lesson, is going back to, we read the Course, we are here, we share with everyone, we know, and we go back to not believing in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the great lesson today was, okay, wake up, just believe. Just believe and trust. And know that forgiveness will settle this. So that's what I got today.
Well, I'm going to complete with Aaron, and then we're going to...
I just want to say, you know, it's like a hand a tune over. You know, are you just a tune over? You know, like I heard that tune a couple of years ago. And I just want to say thanks for sharing. It's just a different place. Instead of Memphis, it was Tucson. So anyway, thanks for sharing. So it made me feel even closer to you with this love, you know, and so it's like, wow, man. So, thank you.
Feels good. Feels great to get acknowledgement from my teacher. See, Chrissy is teaching me. I'm doing saxophone lessons with him. I played saxophone for a long time, and I haven't done it in a long time. And I've been wanting to play music again. And he's just been on his own time, graciously getting with me every week and helping me get my chops and my fingering. And, you know, I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for that, because I need to have some music going through me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm telling you.
Usually at the end of the day, the class, you send us out to the lab.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like today you brought the lab into us. That was very helpful.
Thank you for saying that, because sometimes it's scary sharing personal stuff.
Right, it is.
It is scary, sir. It's a personal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother.
Well, Earl and I have had quite a couple of weeks because with his son facing a cancer issue and my mom being in hospice, preparing to leave the world with cancer, it's been an amazing process. And, you know, hearing about, with the music, getting your chops down, coming here and doing the workbook lessons and going through the Course is getting the chops down. It is planting theoretical seeds in our garden, so when it rains, you know, there's something there that's grown. And that reading today, I shared it with my mom, passed away on Tuesday afternoon, and I got to be there and witness her take her last breath. And you know how a son knows his mother's expression, every little nuance of communication. I saw that those last moments as she let go, tremendous peace coming across her face. And our relationship was very complete. The last 6 months, she finished every conversation with, "I love you dearly." And since she had the first death sentence of she was going to die of cancer, we did a lot of work. She did a lot of personal work. I did a lot. There's a lot of calling for love, understanding what that really means, starting to come in. And so, and actually, just before she passed, like in the last 20 minutes, I read to her this very lesson. Spirit just pulled it right out and said, "Read this one." And she had tried everything, you know, chemo and meditation, and did all the pills and protective things. And they all served a purpose for a point and got her to the point where we could have this healed relationship. And, you know, when people were dying on 9/11 and they were making those last phone calls, it was always, "I love you." That was the completion of the relationship. That was the communication that they were looking for. And I can't tell you the peace of mind, the substance that I have, the Course. It's one thing to say we're not a body, but to actually witness that, it's a whole new ballgame to see that. And to have, when the tears and the emotions come and they flow, they don't go into tragedy. They don't go into tragedy thinking, "Oh, if she only would have done this, or if only I would have said that." I know that in love, there's nothing missing out. There's nothing to be missed. And so what a blessing that we had a chance to be complete. And I'm just motivated. You said it perfectly, that I want to carry forward to every relationship that I have with everybody to love them as fully as I can right now.
Cool.
That's what I want.
Well, that's the perfect thing, especially right before the love offering.
Thank
I love y'all. I tell you. I like to, while I'm passing this around, thank you for sharing. There's an affirmation that I like to say while we're doing it, those of you who don't mind, because I think it was the theme of today. Those who wouldn't mind reinforcing this idea, say it with me. I am sustained by the love of God. 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 Say it now. I am sustained by the love of God. 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 I'm here to pay for having fun. I deserve 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 to be paid for having fun. You 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 are sustained by the love of God. We are sustained by the love of God. So funny, my daughter was trying to get my grandson to say granddaddy, and he was like, and he said something, he said, G-Dad! And I realized he gave me my hip-hop grandma granddaddy now. G-Daddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm G-Daddy. Hip-hop granddaddy. All right.
Can I say one thing?
You sure can.
I love this thing where we're in a circle. Now, for whatever reason, and I don't care what the reason is, but because you have more connection or something, eye contact, and you can look at people. And when I'm sitting here in the front row, all I see is you.
But the reason why I move it back and forth is space.
Yeah.
It's all about space.
All right.
Yeah.
It's about time. It's about space.
It's
about time I slap you.
Hey, baby, you know I love you, Jim.
You know I love you.
Okay, we are about to go back into the lab. And this was a very momentous day for me because a 20-year pattern of teaching was broken. Usually in the past, whenever I would go away, like people would say, you know, if you leave, you know, apps would make the heart grow fonder. And be like, people can't wait for you to get back. What would happen in the past was that whenever I would leave and I would come back, most people never came back.
We counted the days.
You know. I wanna thank you, Sajid, for doing the classes when I was gone. Thank you so much for being you. You know, coming and being you and offering you, you know, and I want to thank Anna for doing the same thing, you know, warriors, female warriors. I love it. And so coming back here today and having this many people return broke a pattern, and I understand why the pattern was broken. I had really, really made it okay. Regardless of who was here, I was going to love them up and be grateful and be thankful. That was perfect. And again, it was one of those things you say, but then I had actually went, you know what? Whoever's supposed to be here will be here, and I'm going to love them, and everybody who's not, they're innocent, they being where they should be, you know? And it was like, and then what? Boom. And so, it may not always happen that way. I might think I've done it just right and don't get, you know, what I think is going to happen. I have to accept that, too. Because you know when you're getting this spiritually, when you just don't give your peace up. It has nothing to do with did the thing turn out the way you wanted it to on the outer. It's when you're growing spiritually, you just don't give your peace up anymore. That's what spiritual growth is. It's not giving away your peace anymore. All right? And that's what I want you to have.
Thank you.
And that's all you deserve. And I'm here to help remind you of that, and I'll be doing it again Wednesday noon, 7 o'clock on Thursday. And can't wait to see you again. Any other announcements anybody need to make before we go out?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I'd say something about a dance that we have, and it's not, I'm trying to not make this a plug.
I'm planning on getting some mystery sources in.
Quincy got me a speaking engagement over at CU.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so that'd be the first time I've done that. So that's going to be interesting to see what interfacing with the college students going to be like.
Is that just for the kids?
No. Any of y'all can come. It's going to be November the
13th. The 13th
at 1 p.m.
In the Multicultural Center at your area camp.
Yeah, that's going to be, that'd be good to see some, you know, see some.
Yeah,
and if it's just us, then we just have a class.
What day?
Sex and Education, November.
Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. Okay. So, there's some free tickets for Gypsy Nation up there if anybody wants those too. Okay, let's all, I'm going to try to get everybody out here because I want people to tell that I keep my word. So this is what I'd like to do today, a little bit different to complete on. I'd like for everybody to think this thought, let peace extend from my mind to yours, and try to make eye contact with as many people in the room as you can right now. Thinking, let peace extend from my mind to yours. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that all of you will be released to happiness and abundance unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release to happiness and joy because I recognize we will be released together. May the course be with you. See you next time. Holy Spirit.
Can you give it to us? Hug our delegates. And hug me now. Hug me now. Oh.